This week on Packet Pushers, we're talking with VMware NSX customers in a multi-segment show. These are real-life networkers who've implemented NSX in their production environments and have stories to tell. The big idea here is to take SDN use cases we've talked about before on the show, network virtualization and microsegmentation, for example, and then get a handle on how these are being used in real life to solve business problems, while at the same time making the lives of IT people better. How do I mean better? When we recorded these stories, it became obvious to me that deploying NSX isn't just dumping another complex product into your lap you have to suffer with for the next 5 years. Instead, NSX takes some of the pain out of normally complex network operations. I think it's also important to notice that you don't have to be some huge company with thousands of servers to derive value from NSX. There is an NSX use case for you, no matter what size you are. This show is sponsored by VMware, who brought these guests to us, and who are these guests? In the first segment, we're going to hear from Ian Leiter, a network engineer at AT Still University, and then in the second segment, we'll chat with Jason Kadok and Terry Chapman, both with the Vallejo Sanitation and Flood Control District. I'm Ethan Banks. You'll hear me, along with Greg Farrell, chatting with Ian, Jason, and Terry. If you're new to Packet Pushers, find out all about us, our podcasts, news, and tech articles for IT infrastructure engineers at packetpushers.net. Thanks for listening, and we hope you benefit from these stories from the networking trenches. Ian, welcome to the show. Would you please tell us a little bit about yourself?
Absolutely. Thanks for having me. Ian Leiter, network engineer at AT Still University of Health Sciences. ATSU is a medical university with two headquarters locations, Missouri and Arizona, and about 15 different branch locations of various sizes throughout the nation. And in my role as a network engineer, I'm responsible for really all the aspects of network infrastructure. This would include design, deployment, operations, for all the hardware and software aspects of the network. I'm involved in everything from campus switching, routing, data center, server storage networking, to the infrastructure services like Radius, DHCP, DNS, IPM, stuff like that.
Okay, so it's all your problem, it sounds like.
Exactly, exactly.
Well, so, now you guys are running VMware NSX. Can you give us just a little bit of background about the network, kind of the applications you run? Give us some sense of the environment that NSX was installed into.
Sure. It's really a mixed environment. Because we're a medical university, we have clinical operations as well. So we have all of the business administration applications and services that would go along with the university. But we also have medical systems as well for our clinics. And then a lot of academic systems that are for our students. So a lot of video and things like that, classroom recordings.
Now, is this all over one big physical shared network, or is this like segmented networks that are all plumbed together?
At this point, it's over a main network that's all interconnected, but there's a lot of segmentation with firewalls.
Okay. So then let's get to NSX. That was your environment. Now you're adding NSX to the mix. What problems were you trying to solve with NSX?
Yeah, so the main challenge that we had was that we needed to be able to provide a high bandwidth firewalled solution. So I mentioned the medical environment and the academic environment. We've faced a number of challenges with those environments trying to be able to provide high bandwidth firewalling for those different applications.
So define high bandwidth for us.
Sure, absolutely. So for us, it would be things in the realm of 5 gigabits of firewalling for a particular application, something like that.
And how many applications are you talking about? Are you talking about 3, 5, 10?
So applications-wise, I would say maybe 50 different apps of different types. Yeah.
Yeah.
With hundreds of servers.
And servers or VMs?
VMs.
Right.
Yes.
Now, I've worked in medical institutions with clinical and academic, and it's a nightmare because at one stage you've got all these students over here who are being students, even if they're medical students. In fact, medical students are kind of worse in a way. Is that right? and then over here you've got this clinical practice where everything is just like, you know, people are doing operations and medical interventions, and people are being booked in and booked out of hospital, and there's a whole bunch of rules around, you know, tracking and stuff. And so you've got all of this mixed up in one infrastructure. Is that the goal, to be able to mix them together? Were they mixed before, or are they now mixed together?
It's difficult because a lot of this has, it started small. We're a smaller university that has grown a lot in the past 10 years. And one of the areas of growth has also been our dental school and the dental clinics associated with it. And so these are things that have kind of evolved over time. And we were originally using Cisco Firewall Services modules, which I think everyone would know those are end of life and kind of a legacy product.
Yeah, that's the line card slid into the 6500s.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly.
They were challenging as well.
Yes.
It required a lot of love. Their performance was unpredictable and certainly, you know, not highly scalable.
Exactly. And the challenge was is that we needed to select a replacement for that solution. And because of the dynamic nature of the environment, we're seeing some of our apps move to the cloud. It's difficult to predict, you know, our firewall requirements 5-8 years out, trying to select the appropriate platform to replace this current solution. So that was really the challenge that we had.
That's the core challenge. That's the single biggest factor. Or is it the only one, or was there others?
That's one of the biggest challenges, I would say. There were others. Cost is definitely a challenge for us because, like I said before, with that type of a model, you have to predict how much firewall you think you're going to need. And the assumption is that there will be growth. And so you're going to overspend to some degree, potentially. And you've got to try and get that capacity planning correctly. Otherwise, you may end up, you know, with way too much, or you may end up trying to add other products in the future to try and augment that.
So you settled on NSX as opposed to buying, you know, big monster physical firewalls in the middle here. FWSM wasn't going to carry you forward. You know, why NSX as opposed to another great big box?
Absolutely. So with a virtual solution, we kind of went into it thinking, you know, if I have bandwidth changes or bandwidth requirements that change, I can just reallocate licenses. If I have two main headquarters sites, I could move those licenses between sites at an incremental rate. I can't take a physical firewall and cut it in half, send part of it over to another site and, you know, move 2 gigabits worth of traffic or 10 gigabits or whatever.
Although physically cutting it in half would be wicked fun. But no, you're right. You can't do that.
It would be very fun. So we get a lot of flexibility with a product like NSX. And I think some of the other advantages as we started to investigate, they became more and more apparent in terms of the additional security functionality that we would gain by going with it.
When you say more security functionality, are you saying as my VMs move around the data center, the security policy stays with the VM? Or are you sort of saying there's more advanced firewall features in there? Is it easier to operate? Is it?
So with the physical, the previous model that we had with the physical firewalls, we would have to stand up separate DMZs for each one of these applications. And there were challenges too, associated with the firewall services module, in that you couldn't have any one flow exceed 1 gigabit, and there was a maximum of like 5 gigabits worth of traffic you could push through the box. So there were scalability issues with that platform to begin with. But with this solution, we're talking about per VNIC firewall policy that's distributed, truly distributed. So the bandwidth is much, much greater. And then the capability of micro-segmentation, I think it took a while to kind of sink in the implications of this and how much more secure it was than a traditional DMZ-based design.
So micro-segmentation then, that is a buzzword, it's trendy. You can, in summary, with micro-segmentation, you can wall off one VM from another VM via a centralized policy. Is that, you know, is my understanding of that about how you guys have used it?
Yes. What we do is we use the Service Composer in NSX, and We firewall per app, and then within that app, per tier. So if we have electronic medical records, for example, we would have a overarching firewall policy, bubble, if you will. And then within that bubble, there would be individual bubbles for each tier of that app so that we can control the intercommunication of those different bubbles to be able to have a much greater control over that, the security of that product.
Now, you're talking about walling off applications. Now, if I'm a firewall engineer who's used to, you know, five tuple stuff, IP addresses and ports, sounds like a very different philosophy.
It really is. And that's a great intro to kind of where we started to go originally with the deployment. We were originally looking to migrate all of the ACLs off of the previous firewalls. And we were kind of, I was fixated on that. Like, how am I going to get all of my ACLs into this different product?
And fixated would be or not. I worked on a firewall services module with like 40,000 lines in it once. And fixated would not be the word with every single change. That was good.
So the issue though is that you don't have to be bound by the constraints of the original kind of formatting of access lists on a traditional firewall. You can have a completely different approach that, in our case, we found really reduces the number of access lists that you have to manage.
You weren't migrating ACLs. You were migrating functionality in a different way, something that didn't require individual lines, ACEs in Cisco parlance, that would be IP, IP, port, port.
Correct. In this situation, you still have to understand the various protocols that need to be allowed between the different applications. Those concepts are the same. But instead of having individual ACEs to accomplish that, it's more about security groups in the service composer and the relationship of those different security groups, and how I was describing it as app tiers, is how we've deployed it. So if we have a web tier that needs to talk to a database tier, I would need to understand the protocols that are allowed between those two. And the big thing that we've found is the increase in security is that these tiers can be completely independent from all the other applications in our environment. For example, the student apps and those administrative apps, they can't see or interact with or talk to the electronic medical records, even though they may be on the exact same segment or previously what would have been the same DMZ as those other applications.
You were just answering my next question, which in the beginning you had described a bunch of different segments with big firewalls in between them. So it sounds like some of that infrastructure, that security design, has been replaced by NSX.
That is correct. The one difference being, though, is that we are able to, and this is another benefit in the implementation, is we were looking at other solutions that are on the market or that were soon to be on the market, such as ACI and things like that. And a lot of those solutions required additional hardware, whereas this is a 100% software solution. We're able to turn this on incrementally. And in the case of that firewall services module, we're able to implement all the policy, get it tuned to exactly what we wanted, and then go ahead and just pull that module out. So we were able to actually implement the new firewall without having to make any kind of infrastructure changes.
Are you highly virtualized, or do you have physical boxes that are tied up in this as well?
No, we are. We started with VMware fairly early on. I believe our first install was version 3.5. And so by the time, let's say within the past year and a half or two, we've really been 100% virtualized.
Okay, so you're 100% virtualized. You don't, and again, to do NSX, just to follow up on your point there, you didn't have to buy other stuff. Like with ACI, there for a full Cisco ACI implementation, there's a dependency on, you know, additional switches. Is that the, what you're getting at?
Correct. Yes.
Okay, and NSX is an overlay, so you could apply it to your existing IP network. And you said incrementally, meaning you didn't have to go in all at once with this thing. You just said, okay, today we're going to virtualize, or today we're going to do microsegmentation for this, and then you were able to phase in for, what did you do, an application at a time?
Absolutely, and it could even be, if you want to take a very careful approach, it could be even a VM at a time. So we would use, we use Splunk for our logging, and we would export all those logs to Splunk, be able to analyze exactly what traffic is passing between those different apps and app tiers, and then craft a firewall policy to satisfy those different requirements and know ahead of time what the implications would be of enabling those through the logs. And then when we're ready, enable that. And that's the other thing that's different, is that there's no IP address changes. It's a policy that's applied at the VNIC level. So we could modify it quickly, turn it off if need be, without having all this massive impact on operations and these maintenance cycles and, you know, a lot more disruption.
So that's actually leads to another interesting question here. The way you've deployed NSX, it should have changed your operational flow quite a bit. Before, I'm imagining, oh, we got to go in between segments, and so there's complex firewall rules to change, et cetera. Now you've got NSX, the security philosophy is a bit different. Has that impacted operations?
Yes, it has. And in some cases, we have a lot of turnover in different Citrix services that we provide. And we have pretty much had that set up so that those rules can be dynamically applied whenever a new server is created for that particular tier. So it's based on a prefix that we have. If a server comes out with that prefix, all this policy gets applied and it's automatically enforced. That's a big change from what we had previously.
So that just means that if you're still working with the Microsoft people, you just have to let them, as a networking guy, you say to them, give the server name with this handle, and it'll automatically go into that security group.
Correct. And there are a number of ways to accomplish it. We decided to use the server name prefix, and that has worked well for us so far. And we've thought through all the different implications of that and ways that it could be exploited or worked around, and we really have a fail-safe type of design set up.
I'm thinking, like, today you would have just gone, the server person would have sent a request, put this server in VLAN such and such, and that's exactly the same process as that you're getting now, right? Because you're still getting the server people are still deciding what VLAN to put it in. They're just using the naming convention to do it. So effectively, it's automated it out, you know, where it sits in the security policy by just doing the server name, and then you do audits to pick that up. Really?
That is accurate. I guess the one difference being is that if the rules are crafted correctly, the VLAN is sort of becomes irrelevant because the policy is applied at the VNIC level and it's totally independent of the network that it's associated with.
Sorry, what I'm trying to do is draw a parallel. Normally the server person comes to you and says, can you put this server on this port in this VLAN? Or trunk this VLAN to this port. And so you just do that. And you don't know, you know, particularly what the server does, or you might not know, or you may have to ask. And then you would manually go in and do all this stuff. But in effect, you're automating your way around that VLAN creation by just saying, if the server person creates a name, this, then it goes into this security group. Because in a data center, the VLAN is about the security group, mostly.
Yeah, in our case, though, I think it was even more cumbersome than that, because there not only did we have to put it in that VLAN manually, but there was, in many cases, firewall policy that also had to be generated. So there were really two steps that we're eliminating with this change.
You would have had to add the IP address to the FWSM rules for that VLAN interface.
Correct. Or the IP addresses of the servers involved to a security group, or not a security group, an object group in the ASA or in the firewall service module.
Right? And that could only be done at a certain time in a change window in the evening and interrupt your life miserably.
So, Ian, now that you've got a handle on NSX, you're comfortable with using it, you understand how it fits into operations, look to the future. What do you see NSX doing for you in the future that maybe you haven't been able to take advantage of yet?
One of the big things that was confusing to me and some of the other people that I was working with at the time we were researching this product was the whole VXLAN and And so much of NSX is about the networking functionality. To be clear, distributed firewall is not in any way dependent upon VXLAN or these other networking features that NSX can provide. So while those are really cool, there's no dependency there. So you can deploy this functionality independently, and then what we're looking for in the future is to start taking advantage of some of the other distributed routing and switching and all the other things that NSX can do. And one of the primary use cases that I'm looking for is in a disaster recovery situation, to be able to have networks physically move or services physically move and then have the routing dynamically follow and those subnets or networks be available at a remote site.
That sounds fairly magical. Okay. But this, you're getting into the network virtualization element of things is really what you're talking about here, that the other big components where since you're overlaying using NSX, you're overlaying your existing IP network with encapsulation, you can move segments around wherever you want them to be. And so, sure, this comes in as a possibly a disaster recovery scenario. A lot of other scenarios too, but you see disaster recovery as a big one.
Yes, absolutely.
Well, Ian, we're coming towards the end of our time here. Are there any other points or things that we didn't discuss about NSX that you want to make for the audience?
Yeah, one distinction that I would bring up as well is that I think that NSX has a unique way of implementing this firewall policy in that it's put in at the hypervisor layer and not the OS layer. And with other software firewalls, think of Windows Firewall or some of these other OS-based firewalls, I feel like there's inherently a lot less security there because an attacker or an admin or someone on the machine could potentially turn off that firewall if they were to root that box or whatever. Whereas with NSX, it's enforced at a completely different layer. It's enforced outside of the operating system at the VNIC of the VM. And I think this is a great distinction from a security perspective and also from an integration perspective, because VMware has a lot of knowledge about the OS, and I feel like as we move forward in the future, there's a lot of potential here to optimize policy and to automate things going forward.
So Greg, reflecting back on our conversation with Ian, what were the big points that stood out to you?
I think the focus on security, we often talk about SDN as being operations and easier to configure. And I think the one thing that perhaps we should have asked Ian about was how much easier it is to see what the security firewall rules are per server. So normally when I've worked on big firewalls, you know, the big HUA in the middle of the data center and, you know, 10 gigabit interfaces all over the place and VLANs and all that, very difficult to work out which firewall rules are applied to this server. But in NSX, you can just go into the GUI, click on the server, and you see the rules that are applied to it. And that, to me, is probably the most powerful part of the NSX and its security strategy. Microsegmentation and those sorts of things. But to me, I'm thinking, oh, that'd just be awesome.
You were talking about the 40,000 rule firewall that you had to work on at one point in time that brought back memories. I went through one firewall platform to another conversion in the last few years. And it was a line by line audit. Is this in use anymore? Are these the correct ports? Where are these all going? It was brutal. And there was no context around it at all. I was left with whoever I'd inherited these firewall rules from to make this go. And so now to hear a very different security philosophy to get traffic from one VM to another, one segment to another in a hierarchical grouped way that you can look at and make some sense out of intuitively just by looking at it, because you're not looking at IP addresses and port numbers and scratching your head. Sounds pretty awesome to me. And I think the biggest thing that Ian said that stood out was I was thinking initially, how am I going to get all these access control entries from this platform, firewall services module, over into NSX, and then realizing I don't have to. It doesn't work like that. It works in a different way, and I can still be very confident that the security policy is what it needs to be when I'm done, without having to do this ugly, brutal line-by-line transfer from one to another. It sounded pretty like someone's rethought it, and in a way that makes sense.
I think so. I think I didn't see micro-segmentation as a key issue for SDN when we started back, 5 years ago. I thought, you know, being able to control the flows was the key. But really, the micro-segmentation, which is what Ian has said here, which is this app is separated from it. He's got like an infinite number of security zones. It's not infinite, but you get the point. You know, it's very easy to just say, I'm going to create another firewall zone based on this security policy because this is a new app and it needs to be separate for, you know, whatever reason. He doesn't have to go and start creating new VDCs on his firewall or, you know, adding more lines of code to the filter list on the firewall. All this, it's just a case of, you know, get it started. It's attached to the VM. Wherever the VM is in the data center, the policy follows it. You just forget about just how much difference that makes to the day-to-day life of working in a data center.
Well, Ian, thanks for joining us on Packet Pushers today. Now, are you social? Do you tweet or blog, anything like that that folks could follow you?
I'm on LinkedIn, and that's probably the best way.
Very good. And thanks once again for your time today.
Thank you. Appreciate the time.
As we continue this show about VMware NSX testimonials, we have a couple other folks that have joined us here, Jason and Terry. And Jason, let's start with you. Would you introduce yourself, tell us a little bit about your background and the company that you're from?
Hi, my name is Jason Kaduk. I work for Vallejo Sanitation Flood Control District in Vallejo, California. And we're a special district. We basically host the city and the county, so it kind of excludes us from all the city issues. But worked here for about 10 years. I was actually a consultant from the beginning, and we've really just grown. Our technology has just really taken off for wastewater treatment plant. We're pretty cutting edge and leading for a lot of other people. So it's definitely been a really good experience, and like I said, we have a lot of tech on site, and it really is a great place to work.
Jason, thank you very much for joining us, and then Terry, would you also introduce yourself to the Packet Pushers audience?
Yes, my name is Terry Chapman. I'm from the Vallejo Sanitation and Flood Control District. I'm an information systems specialist here at the district. I am pretty much Jason's colleague or a team of two people. We do pretty much everything here at the district, from, you know, networking to phone systems, cameras, and all of that stuff. It's a pretty great place to work. We have a lot of interesting people here. We come into a lot of different situations and different types of problems that we kind of have to come up with solutions for that, you know, sometimes are out of the box. And we like to try to, you know, implement new technologies as they come out, because we often find that a lot of people do things really Stone Age these days, and we found a good solution with the NSX and the Palo Alto, and we're really comfortable with using it.
So let's lead into that. Now, you guys, you're a small IT shop if there's just the two of you, right?
Yes, very small. We have many hats.
Okay, and how many system servers, end users would you support, just so that we have some idea of how big your environment is?
We're not really that large, but we do have a lot of technology. We have 8 core servers. 4 of them are set for our VDI, and then the other 4 are for basically our Exchange, all of our file servers, all that fun stuff. We host about, we have about 86 employees here, so with that, we have everybody on a virtual desktop infrastructure, which is working really well. And we also have a lot of mobile devices that are out in the field that are having guys run around with, doing work orders out in the field as they do, you know, their maintenance and everything out there. So our facility isn't that large, but like I said, we do definitely have some technology. And with what this technology we're using, but it's helped us to be an IT team of 2 people. And we can pretty much be at a conference and run our whole entire network from our phones. So it works really well.
pretty much.
I've never heard of operating my infrastructure from a phone at a conference before.
That's awesome. We were at VMworld last year, sitting in the front row, you know, watching the keynote, and we're both, answering desktop support requests and remoting people's machines and all from our phones. So
are you 100% virtualized then?
We're about 98%. There's 3 devices that we can't, you know, of course they have special hardware in them, but there's 3 devices that are still physical, but I would say we're about 98% virtualized.
Okay. So you mentioned NSX and Palo Alto. So I think most people would assume if you have a small shop, you don't need NSX because that's for virtualization and all of this stuff. So what is it that brought NSX into your shop?
Oh, NSX, God, it makes you think in a completely different way. NSX, we brought it in because we were getting tired of having to run VLANs. We had to, you know, run wires. We were doing a bunch of hairpin, you know, turns in and out, bringing machines out to the core network, going out to the firewall, coming back in systems, and just a really, really, really complex, you know, it was just kind of getting out of control as far as what our old stateful inspection system was doing.
So is this because the firewall, you were using it to block traffic between systems in, that were in-house? I mean, it's not just a perimeter firewall then.
Yes. Yeah. So we actually we have a perimeter firewall, so our north-south traffic, and then we also have internal firewalls as well, just to basically separate our corporate network from our control network, because we are actually a wastewater treatment plant, and there is live plant data that's running on the other side. So we actually use the other firewall for keeping the traffic between I'd say the east, west, and north, south for coming in and out. So it definitely it opened so many doors when we brought NSX into our facility of things that we just couldn't do before, because we were, like I said, running cables and running VLANs and piping things in and out.
And you had mentioned that hairpinning problem. I'm assuming you're talking about traffic leaving one VLAN, having to go all the way out to the firewall, get spun right back around and aimed back in once it got cleared the policy to go where it needed to go.
Yep.
Okay. So now this takes us to NSX then, and but not the integrated firewall that it comes with?
We actually, with NSX, we have it on all 8 of our hosts, and then we also run the Palo Alto HV1000 VMs on 4 of our core hosts. So everything is now integrated, so the firewall just sits in the stack, with the virtualization, VM, if you want to say, by itself now.
So let me just try and make sure I understand it. We know that NSX, because we've talked about it in previous shows, has the integrated firewall in the virtual switching agent at the edge. And you've got vCenter doing control of that right in the vSwitch. But you've also got the Palo Alto virtual firewall in there. Does that mean you're micro-segmenting into a virtual version of the firewall so that you've got traffic flowing through a stateful engine? Was it a filtering or a stateful decision, or were you looking for specific Palo Alto features?
Actually, we're kind of both, because basically the way we have set up is, the NSX is a great system itself, just because, it does have the stateful inspection from layers 1 through 4. The reason why we went into the Palo Alto side is we get deep inspection levels. So now we can actually pick up from OSI layers 5 through 7. So now we can actually look at signatures and look at HTTP headers that are coming across and actually identify what they are instead of saying, hey, it's just a SSL, you're fine, you can go from one side to the other. So in our core servers, we actually have those HV1000 VM sitting there doing deep level inspection through NSX. So we just basically route our traffic from the NSX, send it to the Palo Alto. Palo Alto then goes in, looks at signatures, looks at all the other pieces, as far as what could be vulnerabilities, and then sends it back out into the system.
So let me understand that. Micro NSX, you've got NSX doing segmentation. So you've got the overlay network. You've got lots and lots of different zones. You've got cameras over here, IP phones. Tell me when I get this wrong, right? Because I'm just interpreting.
So basically, we use NSX, the micro-segmentation itself for, say, our control network. So before we had a physical firewall in there that was separating all that. Now we actually have a specific micro-segmentation zone just for that network itself. So nothing can penetrate it, talk to it whatsoever, but they can talk to each other within themselves. And we also had a couple other segmentations that we put out throughout the area. And so I guess now, instead of having to worry about, physically, plugging this cable in here, plugging into the switch, and then coming down to the device, we can actually logically now create, segmentations around specific, areas in our network.
So you've got the control systems that drive the sanitation, because in the sanitation systems that you're talking about, there's these systems that monitor water levels and pressures and thresholds and volumes and temperatures and, pumps are working, there's all this control system stuff. And that's all in its own micro segment. Part of it's physical and part of it's virtual. I assume that you've got VMs running the control system software now.
Yes. So basically, we have some physical stuff as far as the devices that give us the logic out from the controls, and those are physical, and then they drop onto the network, and then everything from that point on is all virtual. Used to be gateway machines. They were sitting here for 10 years. Now we've virtualized everything.
And then you've got a VDI. You said you had 4 servers allocated to VDI. So presumably, reading between the lines here, you got these virtual desktops and people are using them to administer the control systems. And so the traffic from the VDI goes through the Palo Alto?
Yes.
Right. And that's where you're looking for the malware and the extra scanning to make sure that your control systems is not just physically separate, but you've still got to get access to the control systems to operate them and get status. So this is what gives you the extra level of go-to security to say, I'm getting deep inside the packets to make sure that nothing naughty is happening.
Exactly. Yeah, and on the Stateful side, I mean, it was just kind of interesting from the equipment that we used to run. I mean, it was like, hey, you know, no problem. Just, you know, go on through your 443. You know, there's no issues. Go ahead. Now with the Palo Altas, we're seeing stuff that we never knew was happening before, because it just gets in there. It knows signatures. It knows, you know, if there's some sort of SSL 2.0, you know, hack. It's impressive how deep it goes down with the next generation firewalls. So it's really made us feel much more comfortable. Before, I was kind of worried about talking about my security. Like, oh, I can't tell anybody about my security. But now it's like, I have NSX, I have Palo Alto, bring it on.
What about performance? So as you're throwing data through the Palo Altos on top of a virtualization in a VM, on top of a physical server, how's the performance of that running, right? So you've got all this functionality, NSX, you've got underlying networks, you've got firewalls. Do you get worried about that?
Not really. These virtual firewalls are specifically built for NSX, the HV1000-VMs, and the amount of traffic they can handle, we would never achieve that in our network. These are basically built for, you know, Fortune 500 companies with the amount of you know, data they can push through. So we haven't seen any any speed loss, anything whatsoever. It's actually improved on speed since we pulled out our previous firewall devices. Yes. We've actually gained speed, so it's done really well.
Now, do you have to devote cores to the firewall VM or?
Basically, the way it was for the installation was kind of interesting. I followed a VMware's document, you know, and actually I did the install myself. It was pretty easy to do. It basically creates virtual machines using the HV1000 VMs, and then they basically mirror themselves through a bundle. So basically, you have your one VM, it builds it up, and then it mirrors the other three. And what happens is that each one of those VMs are tied to that specific host from that point on. So anytime you see, you know, like firewall 1, 2, 3, or 4, one's always going to be with this ESX host forever, and it stays with it, it lives with it. And then what we use is Panorama to actually manage all of the firewalls. So what happens is we create a Panorama profile, and when we do that, it actually sends that data down to each virtual firewall on each one of the hosts, and that's how everything gets managed. So it's pretty interesting how the whole layout is.
Now, when you go to look at the NSX console, does it see the PAN firewalls and know how to interact with them? Do you have to configure like a service chain in some way?
So yeah, there is actually some integration inside the NSX that does see the Palo Alto side. You actually have to create a thing called network introspection levels. And what that does is, as you create your rules and Service Composer, you then create your groups, what they can do, what their services. Then there's another step that allows you to redirect that traffic and tell it what port and everything that you want it to go through to the Palo Alto itself. And then what happens on the Palo Alto side is it actually gets a special dynamic group created. And that group then is then mapped into your security policy. So you can have a whole plethora of machines, you know, and you can have them all saying, you know, they anything that starts with the letter A, you know, all my servers, you can put this into the dynamic group. And as the machines are created or moved into groups, or if we automate them, they'll all get that same policy applied to them from the Palo Alto side. So the NSX does, the NSX is aware of the Palo Alto side, and Palo Alto is also aware of NSX. So there is a special bundle that you actually have to create and work with when you actually go to do the installation.
And then from an administration standpoint, it sounds like if you name or create your virtual machines in an intelligent way, you can write the policy, the firewall policy, once. And in theory, you wouldn't have to touch it again. I mean, if your business needs change, that's fine. But yeah,
it's definitely interesting. When I did the actual installation, there was a little bit of a hiccup that we had with Palo Alto. They ended up selling us the four virtual machines as themselves. Then they sold us Panorama. And then I go to do the install, and the install says, please insert your Palo Alto bundle license. I'm like, bundle? What is that? So I end up having to give him a call and say, hey, you know, this isn't set up right. You know, I've got four licenses here. I should have actually just one. So once I talked to him, it took a little bit of time, but we ended up getting all of that corrected. So there is actually a special Palo Alto NSX bundle that you actually have to purchase, and that has all of your host licensing in it, all of your wildfire, all of your threat protection. But that was definitely a little gotcha that I had to work through. That was
That virtual products for NSX is a little bit different, right? It's the NSX firewall that the Palo Alto produces is quite unique. It's not just get a Palo out and put it in, you know, virtual firewall and away you go. You've got to get the specific line item associated with that. So do make sure that you pay attention, or that your reseller's paying attention more correctly.
Correct. Yep. Yeah, that was a little bit of a gotcha, and it kind of put a little hamper on our timeline, but we got through it. And once we got the NSX bundle license, we put it into Palo Alto, boom, everything started, and started building themselves up the way they're supposed to. They all communicated with each other, and Palo Alto and NSX know, you know, each other and all the functions.
Now, have you needed to use technical support from either VMware or Palo Alto?
Yes.
To get this thing going. And okay, so then what was the issue? Who did you call, and was there any finger pointing?
Not really. The first part was, I think it was just my account manager was just so new, because the HV 1000 VMs are pretty new, I would have to say. So they weren't really totally educated as far as, you know, the licensing like that. So once we started with Palo Alto, that was they were pretty quick to understand what was going on once I proved, you know, what was going on with that side. On VMware side, I really didn't have to contact them for much. I did contact VMware one time as far as I had some snapshot issues that were going on, because the way the actual virtual machines build up is they build one master, and then the other ones become snapshots off of it. So I did have a couple issues with that, but support was super easy to get to on both sides. So it's been really, really good.
What about high availability of those firewalls? Normally when you have physical firewalls in your network, you're worried about, you know, having two physical firewalls. Are you having good quality of that in the performance and stability in your environment?
Yeah, I mean, what's been nice, like I said, we have, you know, our four core systems, and the stability has been awesome. And as far as, you know, like if we have a problem with one firewall, we can actually migrate the machines off to one of the other hosts or so. But it's really, I mean, we've brought in VMware in 2009, and it's run just wonderful ever since then. I mean, like I said, the fact that you got two guys here that we can basically be away and manage their entire network virtually from from our phones, it gives us so much more empowerment to be able to grab a hold of what we need when we need it. So as far as having redundancy and everything in the background, it really has made a big difference in what we do.
You know, actually, there was a gotcha we ran into when we did the NSX installation, which it was kind of interesting. When we had first installed it, back in the day, we had this best practices guide. It was to change the web services port on the VMware side to a different port than 80. We had changed ours to a non-standard port for security reasons. And when we had installed the NSX piece, we found that NSX would not start up on any of the hosts. It would not be able to provision. And what was interesting about that is we finally eventually troubleshooted by looking at the logs. It said it couldn't bind to the port, or there's some issue. So we had to go into the the .dot configuration files and on the Linux side of the VMware to change to allow the new port through, so that it would communicate. It was really kind of annoying, because what would happen is when we restarted it after adding those ports, it would lose the configuration. So we had to actually come up with some clever scripting to automatically re-add those ports every time we rebooted the machine in order to get NSX back up. And that's kind of the one gotcha we actually still have, is because we still use the non-standard port. So
I'm not so sure that's a brilliant idea. Like security by obscurity is not always the greatest, you know, sort of policy, and moving it off to a different port does make it hard to find the endpoint so that you can attack the host. But this is always the price that you pay, is that, you know, your systems may not detect what they need to be doing. But yeah, and that's a fairly specific. I'm not sure how many people would change that. Do you think many people would?
I remember it was a document way back in the day that I found, and it's kind of grandfathered in now, and everything runs on that port, which is, you know, the standard is 8080. And we're not on that standard. So and when we do a remediation, sometimes we have to keep an extra eye out, you know, because basically if we do lose the NSX, which we've had this happen one time before, when the NSX does stop, like Terry stated, it basically stops around the traffic to those VMs. So it's very critical.
Yep.
But that was definitely a gotcha. So Terry did. That was a fun one.
Okay. So we've talked a lot about the installation process and the integration with the Palo Alto Networks firewall, and a lot of your operational stuff and kind of how you're making this whole system go. Now you've got this whole thing running, right? It sounds cool. What are the interesting things that you're able to do with it?
Everything. It's honestly, it has made me think. I'm a hardcore networking guy, and what's happened is I have to think of networking a completely different way. I was at the point where I was pulling out our front end, you know, firewall or north south, you know, firewall itself, and we had DMZs on there, and it's like, I'm not using DMZs anymore. You have to think of something completely different. And before, you used to always have to put in the second level and support. And now we don't do that because of micro-segmentation, plus the fact of the firewall itself, and then also having the virtual firewalls. You really have to think of networking in a whole new way now, because it's logical. And then the other cool thing too that I love, this is so awesome, you know, because like I said, we're not a large organization. We don't have a lot of money, but the fact that I don't have to buy networking equipment anymore. If I need a load balancer, I can spin one up in maybe 10, 15 minutes using NSX. If I need a router, I can spin one up, you know, another, you know, 10, 15 minutes or so. So basically NSX has really, we don't have to buy hardware anymore. The fact it's all virtual, we can now just, you know, if we need something, we can spin up and not have to wait for it to be shipped, you know, delivered, install, you know, find rack space, cable it up, create VLANs, all that junk. So now we can actually just create these things on the fly. And it's just, it's made me think of networking in a whole new light.
And not having to keep going out and buying stuff and upgrading the hardware is pretty, I guess you just monitor the VMs for performance and throughput and see how much CPU and memory is being burned, and you know exactly where you are. You're not forever planning on the next upgrade in a year or two's time.
Exactly. Mm. I mean, it's and then the fact that, you know, we don't have to worry about having support contracts, and we don't have to get the finger pointed like, oh, it's your Cisco bytes. It's this, you know. Now it's the fact of, you know, we know where it is. We can see it. We can see what's going on, and we can, you know, troubleshoot quickly.
What about monitoring? I guess because everything's inside the NSX, like all of your networking is, you know, on those hosts with the NSX between it. You've got a pretty good visibility into where the traffic's going and what's happening.
We do. It's the package itself. That's something that I think is lacking a little bit as far as the actual monitoring itself. There is some good tools inside of there. The biggest thing that we're trying to head to right now is vRealize. vRealize is a suite that comes along with NSX that you can actually tie into, and it'll show you basically from point A to point B and tell you exactly what's going on with it. So that's what we're pretty much heading towards.
Right.
But as far as using the vSphere and the Palo Alto, those are both really good single panes of glass to be able to see what's going on. Palo Alto using the Panorama as well really made makes it easy to manage, see what's going on, traffic, you know, everything all at the same time. You know, pretty much one single pane of glass as far as their security.
Mm-hmm. Single pane of glass or single glass of pane, but you guys seem convinced it's actually a thing in this case.
Yep, and like I said, it makes it easy. You know, like when we manage the network from our phones, boom, we can hop right in. We can see what's going on.
You know, okay. You guys keep talking about the phones, because we were talking about this before we even started recording. Okay, I have an iPhone 6S. It's got a nice big screen on it, but there are certain things I would just never do on the phone. Particularly web apps that are not designed for the phone, but even with apps that are designed for the phone, it's kind of usually pretty limited and restricted. You guys are all about this. Seriously, what can you do with your phones?
We can do everything with our phones. With whatever we're sitting in front of our desk, we can do it on our phones. I have an iPhone 6 Plus, and the screen's okay, but I can get in there, and if I have a user that says, hey, I'm having problems with Word, can't do something, you know, I can't get this to work, we can actually shadow their sessions and actually grab a hold of their session just by using, you know, the regular Windows tools, you know, like off remote assistance, boom. So now we have complete access to all of our virtual desktops and being able to help with them. If we have a virtual desktop that gets tied up, we can go right into vSphere, you know, reset their client, boom, we're done. If we have to go into our firewalls, you know, everything's just a web page, so we can, you know, we VPN in, hop in, look at the problem. If we have to open up a URL or something, it's all pretty much done by the phones, and we can use our iPads or phones, but we can use any device. It's, you know, like I said, VMware last year was ready for any, and pretty much any place, anytime, anywhere, you know, we can manage our network, you know, via our phones with a secure connection.
You guys are believers. Okay.
They really do believe. Yeah. You can hear the passion, can't you, Ethan?
I can. That's why I had to hear about this, because my passion for my phone ebbs and flows depending on the app that I'm interfacing with. So
It does for me.
Yep.
I think the interesting thing about this discussion, Ethan, is that this is a small company of just two people. And imagine how hard it would have been before to run routers and firewalls and then all of the servers and then all of the apps on top. And in a sense, their lives have been made a lot simpler by taking away the physical part of those devices, you know, like esoteric firewall updates and command line interfaces to routers, and pushed into the vCenter console that they know how to use, and that makes their life a whole lot easier. I think we underestimate that operational aspect of these products.
Well, there's the ease of operations, but then there's also the fact that as a small shop, they can take advantage of these features. They have a use case for them. They need these things, as opposed to, I think it could be conceived, to do anything that is SDN related or network virtualization related, I have to be some huge shop and spend millions and millions of dollars for that functionality. Other than that, I probably don't need it. And yet here we are talking to people that are, it is a small shop and they are using these features from their phones, even.
Yes. It's just that change, you know, the days of being a product expert to being a functional expert or a service. These guys are talking about service to the business, not, you know, like without saying, oh, I had to get into the CLI and upload the code and it took me hours and hours to find the right code and blah, blah, blah.
Or I'm going to farm out the network management to, a high paid consultant that comes in once a month to do all the things. Yeah.
Damn, that was me.
Thanks for listening to the show. You're a pretty wonderful person for having done so. To find out more about VMware NSX, visit www.vmware.com/products/NSX. And if you talk to your VMware rep about NSX, be sure to tell them you heard about it on Packet Pushers. Our thanks to VMware for sponsoring the show today. You can find this and many more fine, free technical podcasts along with our community blog at packetpushers.net. Follow us on Twitter at packetpushers, find us on LinkedIn, like us on Facebook, and rate us on iTunes. Last but not least, remember that too much networking would never be enough.